been oh so blue. I always thought that you would love me. I don't know what I should do. Do do.
Hello, hello everyone. Thank you so much for joining me here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wall. And tonight, you know, I'm not going to keep you too long. I want to talk to you all about something that's becoming very prevalent in society nowadays, and it's almost to the point of being some type of pandemic. It's really getting out of hand. Tonight, our topic is why women stay in abusive relationships. And I had posed this question to a couple of colleagues of mine a few weeks ago. And one of the questions that I had asked was, when do we, as the people who are here to help those who are truly seeking it, if we find out that they're not serious about ending their plight, when is it time for us to throw in the towel, so to speak, and refer them to other people and professional organizations to help them? You know, lately I've been talking to so many women who are in extremely volatile and dangerous situations, but over and over again they keep doing things that are questionable, and they make me wonder if they're really serious about getting out of these situations. You know, for instance, I've heard so many women, and I'm sure some of you have even heard this or seen it on certain television talk shows. The first thing that some women say is that they love their abuser. Well, love in that case is just another four-letter word. But love is never supposed to hurt. So therefore, that's not really, it's almost like an oxymoron. So for those of you who don't know what an oxymoron is, I always tell people, because another excuse is, they're stupid. They don't know what's going on in the world, and they don't know how to do this and that. So I always tell people, you know, educate yourself in any and every way that you can. So if you ever hear any of my guests or myself say words that you don't understand, I used to carry around a small pocket dictionary with me. That's how I became well-versed in so many things, because I read a lot. And it brings me to another issue that people like for people to take on their battles for them. They like to be spoon-fed. They like for everything to come to them and be done for them. Well, that's not going to happen. You need to make the choice to get out of your situation for yourself. I can't do it for you, especially if I know that you're going to still run back to that individual. And another excuse that I have heard so often is, oh, I'm doing it for the children. Well, we can look at that two ways, because in the same breath, you'll say, I'm doing it for the kids. And then you'll go right into, well, I didn't have my parents growing up, and my abuser had abusive parents and blah, blah, blah. And, and somewhere I'm trying to figure out what happened to the children in that equation, because suddenly it turns to you and your abuser, and the kids become invisible yet again, without taking any consideration that children are very perceptive. They may not know how to articulate what they're feeling, but they do show their feelings in many forms. A lot of times their grades will drop in school. They'll start to act out. They'll start to get in trouble. It's because they see what's going on. They don't know how to say, well, mom or dad, Why don't you just leave? Why do we have to argue every day? They see what's going on and they feel it. A lot of children are very empathetic. They feel the tension in the home. And then there's so many of you who are worried about what people will think. You know, you want your kids to be in ballet and they take music and they're in acting class and you have the white picket fence in the home and you don't want to give any of that up. So you use that as an excuse. What will people think? Or you don't want to take the kids out of their school because they've got friends. Well, you know, newsflash, children tend to make friends wherever they go. They don't learn how to be afraid of everything, how to hate people and all of that until we teach them that in most and many cases. So to say that they won't have any friends, no matter where you go, I guarantee you the children will make friends a lot quicker than you or I would make friends. So that's not an excuse either. And some of you, you actually like what your partner provides for you, whether it be a beautiful home, fancy car, nice jewelry, whatever it is. You don't want to give that up. So forget the children. Forget everything else. It's about your wants and your needs. And as long as that's more important than your well-being and that of your children, then no one's able to help you because you really don't want to leave your situation. And then there's some of you who I've heard recently who said things like, you don't know how to live alone. You wouldn't know what to do. Well, get a hobby. Take up knitting, crochet, go back to school. Join the Y, do something, read a book, read a couple of books, but do something to occupy your time. You do not need that abusive, warm body next to you at night in order for you to survive. Trust me, if you leave your abuser, you're not going to stop breathing. Matter of fact, if you leave, you may continue to breathe because if you choose to stay, it may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but usually the situation tends to escalate, and you may end up not breathing. So you have to really, really think about this and take into consideration why you really stayed. Welcome to all of our guests in the chat room and in our call query. Of course, if you have a question or comment, feel free to give us a call at 646-478-4726. And for the guests who are already in our call query, feel free to press the number 1 on your phone, and that will let me know that you would like to be on air. But give me a call. Give me your take on this situation. If you're in this type of a situation, explain to me, explain to the listeners why you choose to stay. And, of course, you can also be viewed as just being downright selfish. It's all about what you're not willing to let go of. It's about what your wants, your needs. It has nothing to do with that of the children. In reality, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with anything but what you want. If you're in an abusive relationship, you don't go on vacation with your abuser and take a million pictures of you all sitting on the beach and grinning together and cheek in cheek and smiling and happy. And then you come back and expect someone to give you a pity party when you start crying and say, I want to leave. But yet you just came back from vacation and you were grinning and you were smiling. And then when you're questioned about it, you want to catch an attitude like, those of us who are concerned about you are the ones who are attacking you. Like, we shouldn't ask, explain to us why you just went away on vacation. And the best answer you can give is that you've never seen the islands before and it was a nice trip. Well, that brings me to another issue. You say you want to leave. What happens if it does escalate and something very bad happens and you end up before a judge? What makes you think your abuser isn't going to bring out all of your vacation pics from just last week? The judge is going to ask you, explain to me why you seem like you were very happy. And I'm not saying that every judge is this way, but being a survivor and someone who's been through the system and someone who's spoken with so many other women who've had like experiences, the judge is going to want to know, how do you hate this person today when just if it's Monday, just Saturday, you were in the islands with him, lovey-dovey, cheek-to-cheek. And you were in a bathing suit probably, so the judge didn't see any evidence of you having any bruises, old or new. And you don't understand that sometimes your abuser is smart enough to put you in situations where it just helps their case, especially if they even think that you may be thinking about leaving. And that's when you have one type of abuser who may be verbally abusive, but not physically yet. But when you keep doing these roller coaster actions, it makes not only me, if I'm your friend, but those all around you wonder. And if you think that saving face and keeping your reputation up, believe you me, odds are the people on the outside already know that there's something wrong because your children go to school with their children. They see and hear what goes on. And, you know, positive news takes forever to travel. But if it's something negative, believe you me, it's human nature to pass that on quicker than the bullet train can travel across tracks from point A to point B. It will be out there. So you need to think twice about that because you're the only one in denial on that. But then again, let's talk about these women specifically who are here for the pity party. You can say, well, you don't know, you know, I understand what you're going through. I went through it. And they will beat you down that their situation is different. And, you know, I have so many people that say, well, Maria, I'm not you. And I come back and I say, you are absolutely right. Because if you were me, I would not be sitting around on this roller coaster ride waiting for people to bring this pity party to me. I would not be doing that. Because eventually it always gets worse. Either you want to get out or you do not. And I understand perfectly that there are people who are in a really, really bad place. You may not have family. You may not have friends. If you have to run to your nearest church, someplace that your abuser doesn't know, a church that you've never been to in another town, if you have to pack up that car and go, most churches are not going to turn you away. They're going to find a place for you to go. And it may not be those silk sheets that you're used to lying on. It may not be that beautiful home with the white picket fence that you're used to living in. But one thing that you will have is your peace of mind and safety. And that's priceless. But that's only if you're serious about wanting to get away. And so many times we're worried about, oh, my credit rating is going to go. Yeah, it may very well go. But the truth of the matter is credit ratings can be repaired. The tear that you're bringing in your family or the life that may be lost cannot be replaced or restored in a lot of cases. And then you're teaching your children the abuse. And then they will grow up in many cases to become abused or abusers. So there's so many things that you have to think about. Every time you choose to stay and you choose to go away on vacation and come back and show all the wonderful, beautiful pictures, and everyone around you is thinking, well, if this person has done this to you and they have you in tears and you know that the children are being affected, and then you come back with pictures from vacation, there's a problem. And after a while, so many people who were there to help you have to move on to people who are serious about getting out of their situations. Then your excuse will be everyone abandoned you. But you never stop to think why you were abandoned, why people moved on. Nobody can stay at square one with you to dry your eyes and make you feel better every time you want that pity pat. No one is going to stay there to do that all of the time. So you have to know what's important to you, what's really important to you. Because if you think about it and there are children involved, you put your children in a very, very unhealthy environment. You chose to stay. You chose to live the fake life and put the mask on. So who's wrong, or are you equally wrong in that relationship when you allow yourself to stay because of selfish reasons? The bottom line is, if you're in an abusive relationship, you need to get out. Period. Yes, you may lose everything. You may lose the fancy car. You may lose the house. Your credit rating may drop through the floor. But isn't it more important for your children to have their peace of mind? Isn't it more important for you to have safety and show your children how important it is not to accept certain types of behavior? Or do you want to stay because you don't want the neighbors to think ill of you, and you don't want to lose the house and the car and the jewelry, and you like going on the free vacations and you love that? So the bottom line is, where do you draw that line? Why are you still there? And I understand. I have people, you know, friends that were close to me that wanted to know why I didn't stick it out with my ex. And I asked them, are you kidding? Why would you even ask me that? And I've heard everything from he seemed nice to he wasn't bad looking to this. And none of that makes any sense to me. So I should have stayed with my abuser because he was physically attractive? No. I should have stayed with my abuser because he seemed to be able to fix things around the house? No. You know, I lost a lot when I divorced my abuser. Yeah. But I tell you what, I'd rather come home to peace and quiet and be able to sleep at night and not worry about being awakened to someone violating me and someone bursting in my room and threatening me. I'd rather have that. And don't get me wrong, I'm still in the neighborhood with his lover and several other of his admirers, and the lover is still right there chasing after him. And there's nothing that anyone could tell her to know that she's just one of many. So the bottom line is simple. You need to be serious about it. This is one of those things when either you're going to do it or you're not. And if you're not ready to do it, do not waste the people who are here to help's time, because there are so many people out there who are ready, who need our help to get out of that situation that they're in. And I'll tell you, been there, done that. When you are ready to go before that judge and you're ready for that divorce, now not all divorces go before a judge. Some go before the master. And if it's irreconcilable differences or something, a lot of times the master will sign off on it and then the judge will approve it. And it's over, said, and done. But even then, in all circumstances, whether you go before a judge or master, you need witnesses. What do you want those people to say? Did you see anything abusive? Well, I only know what they said, but then they went on vacation and they had pictures of them smiling and having a good time. And, you know, I only know what they've said. So if your abuser comes in and says, you know, we go out to dinner and here we are smiling and we're having a good time, all they have to say, whether it's the truth or lie, doesn't matter. In the court of law, it's about who presents the better case. And if they have all of the pictures and they have, you know, and they just pretty much say they weren't aware that you were even going through this, that will make you look questionable at best. That will pose, that will make the judge question whether or not you're capable of taking care of children. These are things that I know have come up in court. because women have chosen to stay in these abusive situations and they've done all of these things and the abuser was keeping track of everything. And when they get before a judge, the judge isn't going to want to hear, you know, well, why'd you go away on vacation? You seem to have had a great time. Oh, well, because I've never seen the islands and it was pretty and I enjoyed myself. The judge is going to look at you as someone who's very self-centered and very selfish. So, word to the wise, your abuser knows exactly what he or she is doing. If you're serious about separating, then you separate. You don't go on vacation. You don't go out partying. You do not do anything where you're on any type of film that can pose any type of doubt. And I realize that, oh, I'm tired and the kids have run me down and I need a break. So go away. Go out to Walmart, get yourself some Calgon, pour the whole box in your tub. Let Calgon take you away. But the bottom line is you don't go out, socialize with friends, family, and all of that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying become a total hermit. But at holiday times, you can have family over, and you can be very arm's length from your abuser. You don't have to be smiling and grinning, and they say, oh, give us a little kiss and all of that. I knew how to say no. I'm not giving you a kiss. I'm not telling you that I love you. You know, in the final days before my now ex-husband and I split, he would keep saying, I love you, and I'd be getting in my car to drive off. I said, I love you. I never responded back because I did not love him at that point. There was no sense in me making pretend or lying about it. And then you never know who's listening when they say, oh, yeah, she told him that she loved him. You know, I didn't hear him say it to her, but I heard her yelling back, yeah, I love you, or I love you too. You know, but they'll always say, well, yeah, she told him that she loved him. And all of these things create doubt in the minds of the court. So you have to be very vigilant in what you say and or do. And for those of you who say that you're not financially ready, one thing that any organization will tell you is how to learn how to start saving and hiding the money. If you need to make a fast break, you need to take an article of clothing to a friend's house or stick it in the car. But if you know that he's there in your car, then you don't want to do that. You have to have someone that you can confide in or take a piece for the children and you every day and leave it at work, someplace where he doesn't come. And if he did, he can't get back to where you're housing the clothing and the money and things. You have to get that plan in place and stick to it. You cannot go back and just backtrack. Once you're on that path to your freedom and your liberation, you cannot look backwards. So you have to keep moving forward. And again, thank you so much to our guest in the chat room and, of course, our guest in the call query. Thank you so much for joining me here tonight on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. And tonight we're talking about why women stay in abusive relationships. And there are some I know that are sitting home right now thinking, oh, she's bashing us, and here we go. There's no place for a pity party when you're trying to make that exodus from an abusive relationship. Domestic violence is nothing to play with, people. And in this economic downturn and these uncertain times, it seems like it's very much on the rise now. Because there's so many people taking out their frustration on whomever they can. And of course, they're going to go for someone who's weaker than they are, smaller than they are. If you don't want to do it yourself, do it for your children. There's so many people where children are involved in this. And we have, you know, Child Abuse Awareness Month coming up. And, you know, Domestic Violence Month is coming up. We have so many things coming up. And of course, domestic violence is shared with another major illness organization, and it gets thrown by the wayside so often, and it's just left in the shadows. But then, on the other hand, there are people out there who choose to stay in these relationships who allow the courts or make the courts just look unfavorable on all of us when we go before judges. And they get tired of hearing these stories and seeing these women who keep crying foul and crying wolf, and then your abuser comes in and they say they don't even know what you're talking about. And then you want to know why they question your sanity. Abusers are smart. Most of them are very smart. And what they can't think of, believe you me, their attorneys will. And their attorneys will make you look the absolute worst in every light. So don't give any ammunition, for lack of a better word, to your abuser. Stop going out partying. Stop clubbing. You don't do. Say goodbye to vacation. And if you need to go somewhere, get together some of your girlfriends. Have a girls' weekend away. Go somewhere nice. Leave the children with family and or friends. And the bottom line is most people have people that are willing to help them. They don't want the help because they like being in the pity party. So again, if you'd like to join in, you know, I'd like to hear your take on why women stay in abusive relationships. Our number is 646-478-4726. And, of course, for our guests in the chat room, if you have a question or comment, feel free to type it there. And I will be more than happy to read it for you on air. But the bottom line is, ladies and or gentlemen, you really do need to get out of these relationships. None of the reasons that I have, you know, brought up this evening are good excuses to validate why you stay. So for all intents and reasons, you stay because you want to stay. And a lot of people, that usually incites a riot in them because they say, I'm not staying because I want to stay. I'm staying because I don't have anywhere to go. You know, I have a very close friend of mine right now who's a survivor of domestic violence. She's homeless. She stays in a hotel from week to week, her and her children, in a hotel. And it's 1 week at a time. Don't know what's going to happen the next week. She's living for the moment. But you know what? She looks good. She's in good spirits. No, she's not in my state. She's actually many states away. But she has people who are in her corner and a lot of prayers and people who are helping to keep her out of the elements. And I spoke with her earlier, and she just told me that it's snowing and cold in her state. It was beautiful and sunny here in Maryland, but where she is, it was cold. She's lost everything. Everything. But you know what? She seems like she's so much more at peace now than ever before. And I look at it like this, that when we're at ground zero, we have no place to go but up, except for those of us who choose to just see that we're at ground zero and we should wallow in all of the muck and the mud and the dirt that falls to the absolute bottom. Some people like the drama. Some people like to be there. And again, remember, I am a survivor. I did lose everything, close to everything. I am nowhere near where I used to be financially. Spiritually, I'm probably a few steps further than I used to be because I'm closer now to my God and my belief than ever before. And I have a certain peace that helps me to stay calm even in the midst of my storms that I didn't have before when I was on top of my game. And my world is still changing. and evolving. And I don't know what tomorrow will bring or the day after. There are days when I just feel like giving up. Yeah, I do. And I mean giving up and checking out, literally. So I understand all of that. So please don't think that I do not, because I do. And I know that had I stayed in my abusive relationship by now, I would have been dead or in jail, because odds are he probably would have been. You know, in my latest book, Silent Noise, I wrote a piece called Silent Steel. And it was just about that. You know, sitting there watching him turn his back and fall asleep after he had violated me. And I knew that it was so simple for me to pull out my silent savior. And in my piece in the book, I'm talking about my 9mm. And it would have been so easy to pull the trigger, but he wasn't worth that, because then I would have ended up in jail. The courts couldn't care. He was not violating me then. He was asleep with his back turned, and I blew his brains out. So he wasn't worth that to me. We had a caller a few weeks ago who she said she did use her weapon. And I believe she said that hers was a knife. I'd love for her to call back so we can talk further about it if she's listening. I'd like for her to come across the show again. And maybe we'll do a show about those people who actually carried out what they were feeling. But for me, it was that voice in the dark. It was the small voice in the dark that kept me from pulling that trigger. And he's still out there conning people and stealing and lying. And eventually, you know, they say you reap what you sow. So every dog has their day, he or she. But the bottom line is, if I was given the chance to do it all over again, stay and have someone lying in my bed, that warm body, and someone who could fix things when he felt like it, would I do it all over again? Yeah, I would get rid of him in a heartbeat. Matter of fact, I would have gotten rid of him so much sooner. And the bottom line is simple, is that there are so many people out there who really are ready. And we have a caller who's about to come on. Caller 7410, 7410. You are on air.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. I was just listening in, just calling to say hello. But I was in an abusive relationship once, and it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, thank God for my friends and family, like, helped me getting out of that, because it's, like, really awful. And
What did you do? I mean, when did you know that it was time for you to go, and did you try to work things out?
Yeah, at first I did.
Mm-hmm.
And and then I realized that it just started getting worse and worse. And, you know, just talking to a few friends and realizing that it wasn't right, because at first, you know, I know that people go through arguments, but not like that. And then my friends started telling me, like, that's not right. And then
mm-hmm.
I realized that it was not right for me. So thank God I have friends to help me get out of that. It was really mostly like my friends and family that really helped me, because at first I didn't see anything wrong with it.
And I think that's another thing, that so
mm-hmm.
many of us don't think that things are wrong. And we as women, you know, we try to rationalize everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to say, well, let me think. Maybe, what did I do to piss him off? You know,
yeah.
And a lot of times, in the end, we didn't do anything. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we did say something, that didn't give him the right, or her, or whatever it is, you know, whomever it is, to put
mm-hmm.
their hands on you and to mistreat you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so many people don't understand that.
Mhm.
And did you lose anything when you left?
No, I didn't. I don't know. I have a tendency, like, to be, like, a mother figure to people. So I was, like, the one providing most of everything. So I didn't lose anything. At first, I thought I was losing out on love, but I realized that, you know, that wasn't love, you know, when I grew up. And I was real young at the time. I was, like, at least, like, 18, 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just something like that. And I just thought it was the end of the world. So I realized that, you know, that wasn't what's supposed to happen. And fighting and stuff like that is not cool.
Exactly.
So I got out of that. Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
and go ahead.
You can go. Mm-hmm.
But what gets me is that, you know, this seems to be happening. Like you said, you were 18.
Mm-hmm.
But then this is happening to people in their 40s, 30s, 50s, 60s. And I'm
you
trying
know
to figure out why these women don't think that they're worth more than that.
It's because I was thinking about that, because it was like the same thing I had a question about. Like, you know, I know people, like women and men, they tend, like, when they get older, they have a tendency to stay and put up with more things. Like, I just know a guy who, you know, wife is committing adultery on him, and he still stays with her. And I think it's all because, and the same thing with the abusive relationship, I think it's all because of just the thought of, like, losing a lot of things, like, just being in your comfort zone, you know, just... Some people only know how to be a mom or a wife or a husband, and just losing that and just the fact of thinking that you're going to be lonely out here, so you'd rather put up with mistreatment rather than be lonely. And I think that's what is one of the main reasons why people stay in abusive relationships, why people stay in relationships where they're not being treated right. So I think loneliness plays a big factor.
Now let me pose this to you, because, you know, that's what I was talking about, people needing that warm body next to them at night. Now, do you
mm-hmm.
think that also comes down to a low self-esteem issue?
Some people do, and I think some people, it comes down to low self-esteem, and then I think it's just people being in their comfort zone, like just the thought, like, I know women who, like, start over, and they're young women, they don't like to start over because they don't like the thought of having to date people and having to, like, you know, to
mm-hmm.
get to know new people. And being in your comfort zone, it's just easier to deal with BS than to have to deal with somebody who may be a lunatic, crazier than the person you're with. And just the thought of that scares people young. So I feel like sometimes older people be like, I'm old, I'm probably not as attractive as I was when I was younger or have the body. And they just feel like, no, I guess nobody would probably want them like that, or it would be harder for them.
Yeah,
so,
you know, it's one of those strange catch-22s, because to me, if you're not
mm-hmm.
in a box, then I think that, you know, if you say your body isn't kicking anymore, fine. Get the body that you want, first and foremost, for yourself, because we all know you can look like the queen of beauty. And if
mm-hmm.
a man is going to mistreat you or cheat, guess what? He's going to do it no matter what you
mm-hmm.
look like. And then a lot of these women, you're right, we get older and we think we don't have it going on. But I'm like, this is not what it's all about. First of all, you're going into looking for someone to love you for your looks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mistake number one. And then a lot of older women, you're already established. You have your retirement. You have probably a nice home. You've been in your job for 20-plus years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't understand. You have all of this without him,
yeah.
without that partner.
Yeah.
But again, you know, but a lot of times I think abusers, one of the biggest things that they do, they find our weaknesses, and they
mm-hmm.
play on that. And that's how they're allowed to get away with what they do, because they play on our weaknesses. And they know that if you have a problem, if you're insecure about your weight, then they're going to talk to you about it and make you feel like nobody else is going to want you because you're too skinny or you're too fat, and nobody will want you but that particular individual. And that in itself is the beginning, or if it's anything, whatever we have that we have divulged is something that bothers us, they will try to use that to attack us. And that's young and old, but in the same breath, like you said, you were 18. And there should have been someone, well, in your case, you had friends and family to help you. But a lot of women, there should be people who are strong enough to tell them that they deserve better. But this epidemic is so widespread now, these young people don't have too many people to look up to for guidance. There's no one there.
Exactly. And it's really hard.
You know, it's so amazing to me of how many women, and for me to see these 50, 60-year-old women that are acting like, you know, I'll take your man, really? You're a little bit too old for that crap, you know. And it's just, I'm like, are you kidding me? But it's what's going on out here now. And then some women, they just don't care, but when you have children involved and you're staying, and you say you're staying for the kids' sakes, when the kids don't care where they are, as long as they have food on the table and they can play, and children can be alone and figure out ways to amuse themselves. So it's not an excuse to stay in these, you know, unhealthy relationships.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, for you, and of course, once you left, I'm sure you had that that support in place to help you make it through it. And you said something else that I wanted to touch on when you said, you know, you lose that love, it's like it's the end of the world. And
it felt like it.
And it does, but, you know, that heals and it goes away. Because once we realize that obviously that person didn't love us the way that we love them, you know, and I'm sure between 18 and, you know, however, whatever your age is now, you've had plenty more loves in between, but at some point I would think that you would keep that with you so you'll know not to even, once you see those warning signs, you know, time to go.
Exactly.
And you know.
And I'm 23 now, and I was, and that was just a couple of years ago, and it was just, it was bad, like the verbal, mental, and physical. And I'm glad I got out of that, because I couldn't imagine just staying with that too much longer, because you'll end up hurting somebody.
Or being hurt. I mean, really hurt to the point where you might have been straight and boxed, you know. And then what?
Exactly.
And then the same people who were like, you know, you should stick it out will be the main ones that will be over your casket saying she should have left. And it's like, wait, aren't you the same ones who weren't supporting this person? And it's amazing, you know, how, you know, I mean, my question is, what do you think we have to do to get this point across? I mean, I don't know what we can do to get the point across as survivors to tell these women that they need to stop playing the victim role on so many different levels.
It's like, you gotta really, it's just the, I think with me, it was just the fear of being lonely and starting somewhere else. But I think when I got over that, like, I just knew it was either me or, like, this mental abuse, and I knew I had to go because it was just horrible. But I, you know, it was just that fear of being by myself for a minute, and that went away with the quickness. you know, and I think it's just the fear of being alone.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't like to be alone, but once I, you know, face that fear, I've been fine ever since.
And then I think they need to separate being alone from being lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, when you feel lonely, read a book, go out, walk in the stars and the sunlight, whatever it is. Find something to occupy your time. And before you know it, it's time to go to bed or to get off from work or whatever. And that day is done. But people need to find ways to take care of themselves and you know, entertain themselves where they don't notice the silence and the loneliness. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, I think, stand there and just think about it. You used to come in the same front door, and you'd have someone cursing you out, calling you out your name, hurting you physically. And then you come in the house, and, of course, it's quiet, and there's no one here, but no one's hitting you, hurting you, or disrespecting you. And some women would still prefer to have the first one, you know, the disrespect, the calling out the name,
mm-hmm.
just because they have someone to come home to greet them at the front door, whether it's a fist
mm-hmm.
in their face doesn't matter. And, you know, I'd love to start some type of a crusade to bring this to the forefront and say, really? So you're telling me that you prefer scenario A. As long as
mm-hmm.
there's someone here to greet me at the front door, I don't care if it's his fist. I just have somebody here. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me wonder how they, you know, are you a fit parent? Really?
Yeah.
Because you're teaching your children it's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure, you know, what or why. I would have loved for someone to call in or one of our people to call, Corey. If you're a person who's living like this and you're choosing to stay because you don't want to be alone or you like the house and the car and the jewelry, you know, just press the number 1 on your phone. You don't have to say your name or anything. I'd just like to hear your take on this. And maybe we're missing something in this big picture, but those of us that are survivors for a reason. And the reason is that we chose not to stay. So if you can rationalize why you do stay, it would be appreciated greatly if you'd explain it to all of the listeners. And believe you me, I have a ton of those. So I would love to hear what you have to say. You know, but, you know, it's great that you called in to share your story. And once again, you said the same things and you mirrored exactly what I've been saying all along. And I don't know how many of us need to say the same thing over and over again before these women get it. And we're only here to try to help you all survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are under the false impression that, you know, I can make it through this. And, you know, we can give you a whole list of people who didn't. So it's
yeah.
just, I don't know, it becomes kind of disheartening after a while when, you know, no matter what we say, there are people listening to this show right now that have probably picked apart your story, and the first thing they said is, well, she had people in her corner to help her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you didn't want to get out of it, it wouldn't have mattered how many people you had in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
You would not have gotten out of it.
Yeah. And at first I was like a little upset because it was like my friend took more control over the situation. We're not going to let this happen. And they took over the situation. And at first I was really upset because I'm like, this is my relationship and should have never told them. But then it was only a blessing that it happened like that because I just growing up and seeing things like it's like night and day now. And I just couldn't believe that I would say something like that and put up with that kind of abuse when I didn't deserve it. Back then I was really upset, but now I'm so thankful that God allowed it to happen that way, because I can't imagine still being in something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't either. I just can't fathom, you know, wow. You know, I've been divorced. I got divorced in 2010 in December. So a little more than a, you know, 2011 was a year on the 21st. So a little more than a year. But thinking back, you know, the what if, wow, where would we be if I had chosen to stay with my abuser? And like I said, one of us would not have been here by now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would not have gone over very well for that long. So,
yeah.
And, you know, we do get upset. But for me, I didn't have anybody, you know, that was fully in my corner, that was here in my general area, who could help me and support me the way that I needed, you know. The one person who I needed for support was so non-supportive. It was just unbelievable. But I had to learn a lot of things for myself. And hold on 1 second. We have another caller. We have a caller from a private line coming on board. Let's see what their take is on this situation. Caller from private line, you are on air.
All right. Has there been a general consensus as to why women stay in alleged abusive relationships?
Uh-huh.
What is it?
Well, from what we have discovered, it is a whole host of reasons that I have gotten from women across the board. From a lot of them use the children as an excuse, which I've already dispelled that, to they don't want to leave the home, the material items. And to me, I say that it's selfishness, but, you know, if you have a take on that to enlighten us.
Well, are you talking about married women or women in non-marital situations?
Well, actually, both.
Okay. Well, I guess for those who are married, maybe they don't want to leave the home with the kids. But for a woman who's in an abusive relationship, and let's say, for example, they're not even living together, I'd have to say she has a lot of issues with self-esteem.
Right. We're talking about that.
Yeah. Has the question been asked, and one of the reasons why I'm calling in is, why do women prefer men who they know have the potential to abuse them over men who would treat them nicely? Has that question ever been asked?
I did that a few shows ago, well, maybe about a year ago, and a lot of women, the take is that for whatever reason, this guy is just extra nice, and I'm not quite sure, because that's never really bothered me, but some women, they're like, he's just too nice. And I'm like, what does that mean to be too nice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think right. that he's niceness, and to me, what I got from them is niceness and respect is almost a sign of weakness to some women.
Well, yeah, I think you're hitting on it. I think that's an interesting question. I don't want to interrupt any particular focal point that you have tonight. I think the conversation...
Oh, it's none. This is an open chat.
Oh, is it?
Because I'm trying to understand why women stay. From, you know, my other caller and myself, we're survivors. We left. We got out. But there are so many women who make up these excuses as to why they stay. So I'm glad that you called as a male, because now we can get your perspective on the big picture, because that's what this show is about. It's open discussion, but I want to hear other people's take on this situation, because we're the loss.
Okay. Well, I already gave mine, self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that it's a shame that there are men out here who like to be gentlemen, who like to be nice, who like to treat women as women, but yet are considered not the preference. The preference is to go for the bad boys, which I don't really blame women if they're going for the bad boys that you see in the movies, because in the movies they're not really that abusive. They're just rebels. So I don't blame women for that. I mean, you know, if somebody's more exciting than another person, then go for the person who's more exciting. But if you've got somebody who's abusing you, and you live, let's say, across town, and the guy's not living with you, and he hits you, and you keep going in your car to go visit him, to go get hit, you got a problem. And even though the guy can be blamed for putting his hands on a woman, I put most of the blame on her. She knows she's going to get... It's like if you have a sign out there on your yard. If you cross the fence, you're going to get bitten by a dog who will take your leg off. Now, if you get bit by the Rottweiler or the pit bull, and you're trying to rob the house, I don't have any pity for the burglar. The sign is there.
Exactly. And that's called, you know, contributory negligence. The bottom line is, you're putting yourself in harm's way voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
And the courts, they take all of that into consideration. And that's what I was saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that these women, they go before the judges and they want to know, well, you were just on vacation with him, smiling and hugging and cheek to cheek, but now you're saying that he's abusive to you. The courts take all of that into consideration. They want to, this person to rationalize this. And like you said, you live across town, and you're going all the way back to let this person abuse you again. And if you happen to be a parent, the courts will take that into consideration too. You know, you don't care about the well-being of your children. You're just concerned about going across town to get yourself beat up or whatever the case may be.
Mm.
And then they want to know why the judge not only tells them to stay away from their abuser, then they may even take their children away too. And then they're standing there wondering what happened.
Yeah, well, CPS is another situation. But I can think of a reason that may justify to some degree why some women stay with some abusive men. Let's say the man is truly a con artist. Now, what I was thinking about before with an abusive man is a man who just doesn't like you, says he doesn't like you, doesn't want to be bothered with you, but you keep coming around and you keep annoying him, and then he smacks you to let you know, I don't like you. I put that blame on the woman. Now, if there's a man, can I curse on your show?
As long as it doesn't get too abrasive.
All right. Well, if there's a man who's really acting like a scumbag, who's really trying to make this woman fall in love so that he can abuse her, so that he lies to her, that he changes his colors, so that he loves her one day, is sorry the next, buys her gifts the next, makes her believe that he's trying to actually make the relationship work. Mm-hmm. This guy is a real scumbag, okay?
Right.
Let her go. Do not hit her. And if she finally wakes up and says, this man is lying to me, and I've been hit long enough, and she kicks his ass, I say good for her.
Yep. He will reap what he sows, or whomever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's another issue altogether when you're dealing with the straight-up abuser, and then you're dealing with the one who's the Rico Suave kind of con artist abuser who lures you in, he throws out the bait,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, the minute that he grabs you in, he does that 360, and he becomes someone else, and then she still chooses to stay with him and believes that one of two things, either she can change him,
mm-hmm.
which is a cardinal no-no, or that, you know, he really does love me and I must have done something wrong. And again, like I had asked my other caller on the line, is that does come back to a self-esteem issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, the first time you say, you know, you raise your hand to me, I'm gone. But
right.
Other women will say, well, it was just one time. And then it'll be, well, it was just two times. And then it'll be, well, it was only three times. And then it'll be, well, I know somebody whose man hits her every day. It'll always be a reason why they convince themselves and try to convince others why they stay. And they never realize that none of that makes any sense whatsoever. So.
And I think people, and this, it took me a while to get to this, because when you're growing up, I don't think most of us really become developed human beings until after 25, after 30, maybe even after 35. But I think a person should really, when they start to know that they want the other person to join them in a committed relationship, I think then they should really make up their boundaries, let their boundaries be known. This is what annoys me. This is what pleases me. What annoys you? What pleases me? What's the deal breaker? And let's say I do something to truly annoy you, and you have a temper, and I know you have a temper. You cannot hit me. You have to agree to that. We will work something out. And that other person should say, okay, yeah, I agree to that. But then there shouldn't be any abuse on that either. There shouldn't be somebody
right.
who says, you know, well, okay, look, I know I did this 1,000 times and I kept telling you that I would change and you haven't hit me yet, but I'm trying too. I mean, women can become passive aggressive too, and then that leads to the discussion, you know, should men hit women? But
right.
men and women should put their boundaries out there. I personally, I've talked plenty of times about relationships. I don't think relationships can be guaranteed, you know, to be good ones. But I think practically you can give a guarantee as to how to avoid a bad relationship. And to me, it's putting the boundaries out there, letting people know, look, I'm making it clear. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is what will turn me off, make me run away. And people have to realize that, okay, look, you hit me. You said you weren't going to hit me. You lied. That's all I can think, is that you lied. And they have, even if they love that person, I mean, not every person who's bad is all bad. A lot of the person who's bad have good qualities, and this is what most people want to hang on to. This is what they want to remember, but they still have to get away. You cannot be hit constantly. You have to work out, look, I don't want to hit you, but you whine, you nag. I keep telling you, shut up, but you don't shut up. And then when I try to leave, you don't let me leave. You know, people have to leave relationships if the relationship is really at certain points is really getting abusive, even without becoming physically abusive. If it's not working out, it's making people miserable, and
right.
they're not willing to change, they have to leave.
Right. And that's the hardest part. I just don't think that they know how to put that one foot in front of the other. But I want you to stay on the line with me, caller 7410, and of course you stay on the line. We have another caller who's trying to chime in, because I don't know if they want to talk to either one of you, but this is a great conversation now, so I'd like you all to stay here with me, and we're going to bring on another private caller and see what their take is on this topic for this evening. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure it was me. Very interesting topic. How can I say this? Like, you hear about it a lot, but then sometimes you don't hear about it at all. Unfortunately, it's super common. And I believe it's a never-ending cycle, especially in a lot of cultures, because no one wants to acknowledge where this type of behavior starts,
right.
as far as where is it for one side for it to be acceptable and for the other side to dish it out. And I find this because of their childhood. I feel as though that certain cultures prepare their children, especially their women, to tolerate, not understand their true self-worth. If you come from a dysfunctional family where you're being called names and things of that nature and hit and things of that nature, the likelihood that you're going to end up in an abusive relationship, of course, is very large. And I think that people don't want to nip it in the bud where it starts, which is in someone's childhood, or where they obviously start to show violent behavior and lashing out. The childhood, but I guess that may take too much work for some parents. because I'm still looking at a lot of the same traits still to this day. Still to this day, so. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Now, you know, we had touched on that earlier, and let me pose a question to all of you who are on our call, Corey, right now. Do you think that this is something that, because a lot of children are not going to learn this in the home, because that's exactly where they're seeing that this type of domestic violence and behavior and abusive behavior. So do you think that this is something that our school systems need to take on? Because who's going to teach our children? Churches have pretty much turned their backs. A lot of churches don't even deal with this type of thing as a priority. So who or where can we go to get...
Not the schools. I was about to say the same thing. I hate when people in certain communities expect the schools to pick up what they're not doing and what we as a whole are not doing in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the school's job is to provide education. Your school's not there even to provide a way for your child to learn how to communicate with others. That is something you're supposed to do as a parent. They are supposed to teach basic things, math, science, English, things of that nature. They're not
mm-hmm.
supposed to have to parent your child. You parent your child. And then that's the problem. I think a lot of people want to put that responsibility on other people, on other systems, such as the school system. Well, the school system is going to fail you and has been failing you if that's what you're looking for. They don't get paid to be parents. They get paid to teach.
They're run by the government, and the government has defended a plan to to make the nuclear family disappear. Now, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so that's why I say that.
Well, it is disappearing. If you look at some of the things that are going on now, the face of family is changing in this country. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Here's the thing. I understand that the government, of course, is laid out there. The government has a lot of plans for everybody. Government wants the minimum because the government enjoys this function. The government can have whatever plans they want to. But my whole thing is, why do people have to follow through and give people, the government, exactly what they want? That's always been baffling to me.
Well, that would dovetail into another discussion. Is that okay with the host?
As long as we don't get too far from where we need to be, but yeah, you can go ahead on and into that, because it's a question that I posed, and I think that when I said education, you know, that can go several ways. There could be a non-credit course offered for adults for abuse and domestic violence. It doesn't have to be something that's done through, you know, our elementary school systems. You know, it could be done at higher level learning if people would get involved with it, because somebody has to bring this to the forefront, and people need to be educated. Like you said, if we're growing up in these families, we're only mimicking what we saw growing up. Where is the catalyst to break that vicious cycle?
Well, if you wrote a book on your experiences, you would probably do a better job than the government would do in instituting some sort of credit or non-credit course in the schools. The government is a lousy institution. It's a power-hungry, corrupt, treasonous bunch of people in Congress who really don't give a damn about the people. So I wouldn't trust anything in the government's hands, especially if you do your research about political history, about the last few years with the Democrats, Republicans in control. So I wouldn't trust it to do anything. The government has a lousy track record at everything it does. Anything and everything it does is over budget, it goes past deadline, and is corrupt. So American citizens who are innovative and ambitious can do a better job. So if you wrote a book, you promoted the book, and a few hundred thousand read it, you would do a better job than the government. And getting back to what your caller was asking about, why do people put up with it or feed into the government? The government has brainwashed us since first grade on.
I don't believe that.
Huh?
I said, I don't believe that.
You don't believe that they brainwashed us?
Nope. Nope. I believe not everyone. Nope,
well,
I don't believe
okay.
That.
Their intention is to brainwash us. Through campaign promises, people believe that the government's supposed to be Big Daddy. Government's not supposed to hardly do anything except let us do what we can do for ourselves our own way. The government's sole responsibility should be to just make sure that justice is done and our national security is taken care of. But since we let the government become Big Daddy, they've stuck their nose into everything. And take a look around you. Everything is run by politicians. All right, I'll continue. Take a look at the food that you eat. Take a look at the inflation caused by politics. The food, again, I've mentioned. Environmental issues, political. The wars overseas, political. The educational system, political. CPS, political. How you raise your child, political. The air you breathe, environmental, thus political. Keep the government out of everything. We can take care of everything else better than a bunch of corrupt jerks.
But I think that what the female caller was saying is that, you know, I understand what you're saying too, but there are a few people who still have minds of their own, and we understand that, you know, America is still the land of opportunity, but the thing is that we need to work extra hard and put our efforts forward to make things happen for ourselves. And there are people out here who are waiting for their government handouts. Understand that. There are people out here who want to sit back and blame the government for everything. Understand that. And then there are some of us, and like you said, I did write a book, and I do go out, and I do my nonprofit. We like to educate people and shed light on these types of issues. But I'm one person, and then let's take this a step further, and this is for all of our people on the panel this evening, is the fact that so many of these so-called multi-million dollar nonprofits where their CEOs are making seven plus figures themselves. In that respect, I do think that some of them, they pick and choose what they want, because anytime you have the staff making millions of dollars, somewhere along the line, that nonprofit has lost sight of what it's supposed to do. Because if they were doing their job, there would be more programs to educate people outside of the school system on abuse and things like this to help break these vicious cycles. But they're not doing that. You know, they're doing things that will bring them to media attention to get more dollars rolling in. But if some of these CEOs gave back half of their salaries, they could help and educate so many more people. So, in that respect, what's your take on, you know, going back to grassroots? Because I think that we've become just such a fat country all the way around that now we're to that point where everything is imploding on itself. So, how do we stop? Who is supposed to help shed light on these issues to stop the violence in the home? And I understand parents, obviously, if they're dysfunctional, they're not going to teach the children anything. So who should step in to help with this?
Well, if people can read Spock, they can read your book, and they can read, there's dozens of other books out there, but try to help parents become better parents. But one book, maybe two books by themselves, probably is not going to change the mindset of people who don't know how to be parents.
Right.
Because there is a manual, and yet there isn't a manual how to be a parent. A lot of people who become parents, I want a baby. But that baby's not just a baby. All that is an adult in waiting. That baby's going to grow up.
Right.
That baby's not going to be cute, you know, every day of its life. That baby's going to be a pain in the butt. That baby's going to say, no, mommy, no, daddy, I want to do it this way. That baby's going to want to hang out with the people you don't want that baby who is now 10, 11, or 12 to hang out with. People have to learn how to be good parents. Most parents know how to either spoil the kid and not give enough discipline, Or they discipline the kid so much, you would think the kid was an illegitimate stepchild, and not give the kid a balance of love. If parents know how to give kids proper discipline and proper love, I think most kids would grow up saying, you know what, I had a pretty good childhood, my parents were cool. I can think for myself at the age of 13 or 14, if I smoke pot, I'm only going to smoke a few joints and then go on home. If I like liquor, I'm only going to drink a few glasses of, have a few sips of beer, drink a few glasses of a Black Russian, go on home, do my thing. But parents really don't know how to be parents.
And where do they get that?
I'm not one of the theory that believes that just because a kid grew up in a dysfunctional home that he or she is naturally going to be attracted to people who are going to abuse them.
I agree.
I don't see any strict causal effect. Myself, I think if a person experiences abuse, why do they want to go out and seek it? I would think people would want to avoid it. But psychologists and psychiatrists make this case that, well, they grew up in a bad home, that's why they want it. I've talked to so-called counselors on the air here on Black Talk Radio, and one in particular tells me that their experiences are imprinted in their brain, and as a result of the imprinting in their brain growing up like that, that's why they want abusive relationships, which still doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying it's not true, it just doesn't make sense, because I think most people want to avoid pain and really get pleasure. I don't see any pleasure in allowing yourself to get hit, beat, abused on a daily basis. I think there might be another answer, another reason than just growing up in bad parents.
Right, and I always talk about children who come from broken homes. Back in the day it was, you came from a broken home, so you were expected to be a delinquent and to do this and to do that. You know, that in itself, but of course, that's what the textbook junkies learned in school. And if you're this, this, and this, you must. Odds are you will become this.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenge the textbook junkies at every chance I get because, you know, you're telling me what your textbook told you to tell me. I'm paying you a lot of money to tell me things that I already know. You know, there's nothing worse than going to, I had gone to a therapist once, and she says, well, get out some index cards and write down this and that. I said, you mean these? I gave her those. I said, yeah, I have a 3- and a 5-year plan. Here you go. Then she said, well, go home and put on some soothing music. I said, you mean like Kitaro, Chopin, whatever I choose to listen to on any day. And she looked blank space, and then she had gone on to something else. And finally, I kept responding back, and she says, well, I can't help you. I said, you're absolutely right, and guess what? I'm going to make sure that my insurance company doesn't pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just doing what the tech... You went to college, and someone in college told you to say this, because you go down your little list, and you think that everyone that walks in your office is unaware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me things that I knew just because I had common sense to know how to find this information for myself. And again, I do agree with you that just because you came out of these situations does not mean that you're going to continue the cycle, albeit a lot of people do and use that as an excuse. To me, I always tell people that, you know what, so you're telling me that because you came up in this, that's why you do it. Now, as an adult, at some point, you don't think as a child anymore, and your rationale and your good sense should kick in. So if you know, as an adult, you discovered that what you grew up in was wrong, but you choose to continue to do it, that means you chose as an adult to do that. And you're using your past as an excuse to do what you now want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are quick to point the fingers at their childhood and things like that to validate their poor behavior in the present. So that in itself is another show probably. But believe that, and to all of you all again, and to our female caller, and of course 7410, the question still is, who, how do these people get the information that they need? They can't, like I said, I did a show a few weeks ago where our religious organizations aren't really there to provide this information. And depending on which ethnicity you're talking about and things, some religions are dead set on certain things, while others are pretty much just turning their backs on it because it's something that they don't want to deal with. So,
well, okay, I would give a few suggestions. If you have other people like yourself, friends of yours, or other people who are survivors, why don't you get together, have a website, promote your book, promote their information, promote articles, try to get traffic to your website. Maybe with press releases, you might be able to get on some talk shows, radio talk shows, other talk shows, and spread out from there. It's not going to be easy, but the educational system is not the way to do it, because if you leave things in the hands of government, they're going to muck it up.
I do believe that to a degree. I think that it's time for us as people to come back together and bring things back to our neighborhoods and work together at that grassroots level to make things happen. What was that old adage? It takes a whole village to raise a child. So it's time for us to work together and leave all of some of the other differences and things that's been taught or we've learned all of these years aside and just go back to being human beings to one another, respect one another, and working together.
Well, those are nice ifs, but America's big, fat, dumb, and lazy and apathetic. So I really don't have much hope for America.
And when you say that, you think that we're never going to come together again for anything, or even small neighborhoods, let's say, not America as a whole, but just
no, if it doesn't involve money, people don't get together. Now, there's going to be some sort of incident that's going to be mentioned two or three times or two or three days, and then maybe mushrooms from there that you get mentioned in the press. Maybe. Maybe if there's a few charismatic leaders who pop up, because people are always looking for the new Messiah. But outside of that, nah. People have been dumbed down. Yeah. People are too apathetic. People don't get together unless it's for money.
And that's, in business and dealing with business, I do know that a lot of people try to network and they want to come in for the fast money. And, you know, with fast money, you know, it also goes fast, easy come, even quicker go.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, this is a me first society and time that we're living in. And, you know, it's sad because in the end, you do have children out there who are left to fend for themselves. And you have parents who some have never grown up, and they're partying right along with their children and possibly even harder than their children. And you have some parents who are just working multiple jobs just to stay above water. So that's a whole show in itself for another day. Talk about, you know, the decline in not only the economical system, but the family structure as a whole. And, you know, again, to get back on our subject is, you know, why do we put up with and deal with and stay with these types of awful situations instead of moving forward? And like I said, so many of us know that we may lose our credit ratings if we leave. We may lose the nice home and end up in a smaller apartment. But, you know, is it worth it to have that safety and peace of mind again is the question. And so many people now, like you say, they want to keep the material items. They want to keep, you know, their reputations and things, not realizing that people notice when things aren't right. And like I said earlier, you know, your children go to school with your neighbor kids, and they know that your kids are getting in trouble, and they're coming home and they're telling their parents. And what people don't know, they'll make up. And eventually, the talk will be everywhere. So when we try to wear the mask, we're not hiding from anyone but ourselves, because most people around us already have developed their own story or reasoning for why things are going on. So, you know.
Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that a dig on me? I'm teasing you. Go ahead.
No, I was just wanting to make sure. Go ahead.
No. I was just teasing you. Yeah.
Well, it's cool.
Go ahead. What was your comment?
It's sad because people starting from an early age are being destroyed. It's amazing to me. Like, how can people sit back and watch this dysfunction continue and don't want to intervene? That all in itself is just like, wow.
Yep.
Now, I'm in my early 20s, so when I come across girls, like teenagers, who have that trait that I see, where they're a bit, let's call it what is weak, and who look like they may permit someone to walk all over them and mistreat them, I try to tell them things. But the sad thing about it is, I'm probably the first person to ever tell them anything like that, so it's not even registering with them. It's not. And because they've never heard it before in their lives.
Well, I can only help people who want to help themselves after a while, because I'm way past 20. I'm over 40. So when you try to help people and they're the very ones who resist your help, after a while you just say, okay, look, I tried, but this is your life, your decision, and it'll come out any way that you decide. So if it comes out good, but if it doesn't, your problem.
But I had mentioned that earlier in the program, is that, you know, there's so many women, I know women in their 60s who are still just as insecure and, you know, staying with abusive relationships and things because of their lowered self-esteem. And you're right. When you talk to the, and one thing I found, children like to have that parenting. They need it, and they welcome it in most cases, because when I first started working with at-risk youth, before I even created my nonprofit, I worked with other nonprofits, huge ones in Baltimore City, and I worked with foster kids, and they were mad with the world, but you treat them like human beings. You talk to them, not at them. Mm-hmm. Don't treat them like they are number in the system. It makes a huge difference. And in the time that they had done my program, which ran for a couple of months, I could see the difference in those children. And in the end, it was a media program. They got a chance to produce their own mini movies of their lives. And to hear them tell their stories and to see these children who were mad with the world when I first met them and how they had evolved, just because I took the time with them to give them a voice, they were no longer invisible, and they were human beings to me. They weren't, and if they were upset and they felt the need to cry, and I was moved, I cried with them, and I knew how to dry their tears. And through me working with other nonprofits, the red tape was so ridiculous, I knew that it was time for me to develop my own. And that's what I did. When I created the Wall Foundation, I created a place where I could interact and help those kids move along. And in the same breath, if you've ever read my bio here on Blog Talk, it'll tell you that I knew that I also had to heal the parents. Because no matter what I did for the few hours that the children were with me, they would still go home to that same dysfunctional. So, you know, one minute They're rising to the top, and the minute that they walk inside of the doors of their home, they're falling back to the bottom. So that's where the issues come in at. And I like for everything that I do to be very interactive. I like for people to get involved. When I wrote Silent Noise, and it's an interactive book where you can write your feelings in it. You can write what you want to say in the book and keep it with you so that when things happen, you can jot it down. Because so many people keep their feelings inside. They won't let it out. And that's where the problem comes in at, is that so many people don't communicate. And that's one of the biggest problems is communication. And like our caller said, the female caller said, was the fact that, you know, when you see young people, you know, that's probably the first time that that young lady that you had approached had ever found someone to make them visible, to see them. Because a lot of our young people, they're going through their young lives invisible. It's almost like they're here, but they're just like another item. You know, you put their food on the table, let them fend for themselves, see them when you get home, that's it. And that's where a big problem is. So
well, if you
keep
have
doing
results,
what you're doing, I would say.
If you have results, I would try to promote that. If your organization is working, not just with the kids, but also trying to straighten out parents, then I would try to contact people, not necessarily a public relations firm, but people who know about marketing. And again, get yourself in different talk shows and then piggyback off of that to let people know who you are, especially if you had success. Because results count. People listen. So if you can do that, again, it's going to be tough. But, you know, if you think it's worth it, then you should go for it. You wrote a book. You have a foundation. So you have some motivation.
Oh, yeah. And I network with some really great people now. But like I said, my domestic violence situation was very new. I've only been divorced a little over a year. So you're talking about me. I'm actually starting from square one. But in that time, I've done leaps and bounds as far as creating my nonprofit and writing a book, because I wanted my book to be done a year after the divorce. So, again, that's why I'm so passionate about this, because I'm someone who's lived through it. And nobody can say, well, you've never walked in a mile in my shoes, because I know that I have, and probably I'm one of the people that paved the road to make those coming behind me's journey a little less bumpy. So it's very much real for me. Mm-hmm. And I think it means so much more when you have people who are in your corner who have been there, done that, who knows what it's like to have low or no self-esteem, who knows what it's like to be abused and beaten and neglected and just made to feel invisible. So,
but the difference between you and other victims is the fact that you started an organization and had written a book about it. So you have the motivation to let other people know, other than just, you know, talking to your friends or relatives or some people here and there. So that motivation, you know, coupled with good luck, could possibly help other people.
Well, I've helped a lot, and more than I can even fathom, and I'm so humbled when I get the emails and the letters and the prayers and the praise and the support from people who I've helped, not just in the United States, but all over the world. And it's so gratifying when you get those letters, and I'm just doing what I'm compelled to do and what it's my passion to do. And I'm going to keep doing it. And the more that I get in contact with all of the right people who can continue to push things forward, the better it will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still getting up back on my feet, because I pretty much lost close to everything in dealing with my experience. But before we go, I have to do all of the infamous announcements. Thank you all so much for being here tonight. And as always, Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio is sponsored by the Wall Foundation Incorporated, which is a community-based 501c3 nonprofit. And, of course, if you're on Facebook, look us up and like us there at Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio, presented by the Wall Foundation. We are there. That is the best place you can keep up with all of the happenings and news and what's going on with myself and the foundation and, of course, Healing Through Hurt. And if you're on Twitter, we're Wall_Foundation there. And if you ever want to write to us, you can write to us at Post Office Box 272 in Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. And, of course, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 202-618-2556. And if you want to email us, it's contact@thewallfoundationinc.org. And, yes, if you specify the emails, it is for me. If they are for me, I will respond to you personally. So, back to our conversation, and thank you to everyone in the call query and in our chat room for joining us here this evening for this very candid conversation about why women stay in abusive relationships. And as you can see, we have touched on so many different issues, and it's become a very broadened topic. But again, we see all the facets that go into why we do what we do and why we choose to stay in abusive relationships. So,
well, all right, well, good luck to you, and good night to you, and good night to the other people on the line. Good night, all.
Well, thank you so much. Feel free to call back again. And, again, caller 7410, if you're still with me. Thank you so much for being here as well. This has been a very, very enlightening conversation this evening. Great themes, great discussion. So, again, before we go, I'd like to end with my infamous mantra to each of you. I pray each and every one of you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days, enough smiles to turn that frown of yours upside down. But most of all, I pray each of you enough strength and courage to face whatever may come your way this week and beyond. Special shout out to the Women of WOW, the Women of Wisdom and Worth, which is a women's support group. And we have members from all over the East Coast. And it's a wonderful group of ladies. We're there to uplift, enrich, encourage, motivate, and inspire one another. And thank you so much to NNSJ Snack Bar, one of our biggest contributors. They provide us with many sandwiches, snacks, milks, meals that we provide for those who, without their help, may go hungry on any given day. And, you know, people, if you're in a bad situation, get out. You have all of my contact information. And if you're really ready to go, there are people here, such as myself and so many others, who can help you. And again, jot these numbers down. The National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. They're there. They are on duty 24 hours a day, and they will be able to direct you to the local resources in your area. And, of course, the TTY number for the hearing impaired is 1-800-787-3224. And, of course, for those of you who are local, contact me, and I'll send you a list of all of the organizations in and around the state of Maryland. The House of Ruth, if you're in Baltimore City, is 410-889-7884. In Anne Arundel County, the YWCA Domestic Violence Services is 410-222-6800. And of course, in West Baltimore County, Family and Children's Services of Central Maryland. It's 410-828-6390. Eastern Baltimore County, Family Crisis Center of Baltimore County, Inc., 410-828-6390. They all have the same number, actually. And that's the same for Turnaround, Inc. in Baltimore County, 410-828-6390. Carroll County, 410-857-0077. And I have the whole list of counties and organizations that are here to help you. So therefore, get out of your bad situation. If you need help in trying to figure out how to get out of your situation, give us a call, email me, or you can also find me on Facebook at Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. This has been a very enlightening show, and I want to thank all of our callers and all of our members who are visitors who actually called in to be on air. Thank you so much. Without listeners such as yourself, I could not be the success that Healing Through Hurt has become in these small amount of years that we have been in existence. So with that said, caller 7410, thank you so much for joining me here this evening on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. And to all of our callers this evening, thank you so much. Thank you so much to all of our visitors in the chat room. And of course, those of you who are on the call query who did not press the button, but you were there listening, I can see you. Thank you so much. I will be here tomorrow morning for our Sunday morning meditation, which is 15 minutes of inspiration and meditation and stress relief and release. So until next week, I am your humbled host, Maria Wall, thanking each and every one of you so much for joining me here this evening. Until next time, you take care, and remember, if you see or know something, tell someone. Whether you believe it or not, people are here to help you. So I want to thank you all so much. Without you, Healing Through Hurt would not be the success that it has been. And I am so grateful to all of you for your kind support and prayers and encouragement, because believe you me, I need it too. So thank you so much, so much, so much. And I will see you back here again soon. Until then, you take care and have a wonderful remainder of your weekend.
Oh, pretty baby, since you left me, I have been feeling oh so blue. I always thought that you would love me. I don't know what I should do. Do do ba ba da do da. Do do ba ba da do. Do do ba ba da do da. I don't know what I should do. I always thought that you would love me. I always thought that you'd be true. And now I'm sadly feeling lonely. I don't know what I should do.